Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. I'm going to mention Mazel Tov to Chaim and Sia and Sonny Pearl on the marriage of a grandson. And I just came from the chuppah, took place 2 minutes from my house. And Mazel Tov, of course, to Rafi Pearl, Srebetson on the marriage son. May the Buga Bayis never be so, may they continue to celebrate Simchas with the poor family of God. First question tonight is a good question because it's local current Jewish events. And I'm excited that there is talk of opening the Kelim. Baruch Hashem will pass talk, the mikvah is actually open. Question is, what is the status of the Kelim on board after Pesach? I will not be using the mikvah until several weeks after it opens. I'm going to use this Kelim until I play the mikvah. Now, I'm not sure when he bought the Kelim. If he has Kelim, and they are still owns them, they're Chayav and Tvila. If he wants not to be Chayav and Tvila until he's able to go to the mikvah, then he should be in touch, and I'll arrange for those in the Mechira of the Kelim. But what's important to note is the following. That even though soon I am going to buy back all the Kelim that were sold to the non-Jew, and they will become obligated in Tefillah, but I'm not going to do it probably for another few weeks, because I don't want to create an urgency, a rush. Everyone has to run to the mikvah all of a sudden, so I'm probably going to wait 2-3 weeks until I do it, and then I will put out notification that the Kelim have been brought back and they cannot be used henceforth until actual tefillah is done on this Kelim. There's a questionnaire which really I don't need to address yet. The question is, if we arrive in a situation that we need to do taking people's temperature with electronic thermometer as they enter the base of Knesset, what type of thermometer would I use? Would I let a Yid do it? Would I let a non-Jew do it? I certainly would prefer a non-Jew to do it. I don't have a problem with that. And especially, we have a security guard, so we already have someone in place that can really take care of that if that takes place. The variant heterum that they have in Eretz Yisrael to use devices with Jews stem from the fact that in many places in Eretz Yisrael, it's very, very hard to find a non-Jew. It was a mice, where was it? In Ramat Shlomo. Years back, the nearest non-Jew that they had access to was maybe 10 miles away in the old city. So that's a whole different situation. We don't live in that situation. We certainly have access to non-Jews to be able to take people's temperature if we need to. And even with conventional electronic thermometers, I don't have any problem doing it. It's based on the psak of the Ramo. It's in Chafes, in the Shach, in the Rendeya. And consequently, that's the path, if we should ever have to do it, that's the path we would take. While davening in outdoor manila, an issue of davening for an Arab comes up quite often as there are passers by. The Rav needs to guide us to what to do when this arises. I think the simplest thing is, and I don't know exactly how they're set up, we don't face the street altogether at our outdoor minyan, so consequently, no one passes in front of us. And the person writing to me is, in fact, a married person, so we should have no problem altogether. If he comes to the minyan and he has such a problem, that he should put the talus over his head, cover over his eyes with the talus, and I'll have no further problem with the issue of improperly dressed women passing by while he wants to daven. So if it's mincha, pull his hat down or turn his head away from the street. He won't have a problem. Growing up in Flatbush, I became very accustomed to Nusach Svarchus. I'm told that there's a discrepancy between Ashkenaz and Svarchus, the receiver says the in-between lines of Kedusha, the Rekotch, Chalkos, and Lamar. It's not accurate. No. Most Malabatim say all the Psukim, they say Lumos, and Baruch Hameru, the Rekotch, Chalkos, and Lamar. In reality, those are lines which the receiver has no need to say. Those are lines, introductory lines, which are intended solely for the chazan and not for the receiver. And initially, the Kachorik de Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Chav Dalet, the Kadesh was also intended only for the Chazan. Rabbi Kivager even asked the question, why in the world in his time everyone is saying reciting the Kaddish? But there is an answer that Rabbi Arizal, Rabbi Kabbalah, there's a reason to recite it. So it's not an issue of Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfar. Generally speaking, the very sophisticated in Halacha do not recite those in between lines because there's no need to. The Hamonam, the general public, recites them. On Shabbos, when in those lines which have additional content in them, then there's an Indian and everyone should recite them. But the ones which are merely introductory, also called Rash Golam the Mechazot, is an introductory line. There's no reason the consumer has to recite it. Not the Mosque. And Komchom, Akeno Sophia, should be recited by the Tzibur. Komo Yifim Barachim, and Hu Akeno Hu Avinu, those should be recited by the Tzibur. But this is not a Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfarad story. We're in the masked age nowadays. We're all became masked men and women. And what happens if you're in a minyan and you're wearing a mask and you have one of those masks that hooks around behind the head, not over the ears? So you do have to be careful not to put it under the kesher of the tefillin. You don't want it to interfere with the tefillin. Now, that only deals partially with the part of the kesher which is touching the head, but which is raised from the head. Sometimes the bottom part of the kesher is raised. I don't think there would be a problem of chitzitz on that place in the first place. Now, some people, the Yezoras Beniskro, Chazal say, some people are in a hurry and they gain, and the Yezoras Benundiskro, some people that hurry and they don't accomplish anything. So I'm aware of someone who tracked down a mikvah in a different neighborhood after Pesach, to tow the Pesach dishes, that he wouldn't have to wait till next year to retable them. So the question is the tefillah invalid because the kelim were not bought back? Or were they bought back under some condition that turns the situation like this, especially the Pesach kelim that weren't being used anymore? No, the kelim were not bought back at all. At least any ones that I sold were not bought back. So they sold through me. I did not buy them back. If they sold it to any other rope, they have to ask that rope. But I didn't buy back any kelim that I sold there. And if anyone went and totaled those kelim, they totaled kelim which belonged to an anjum. When they become their kelim, buying them back from an anjum, they will actually become a chuyuv in tefillah. So they accomplish nothing by being in a hurry in this particular case. Unless they're sold through some other rope, they may have brought them back after Pesach. I don't know. What is the current process for Yitzhar Achnos of the Sefer Torah outdoor minyan? This is we don't have to make progress about this. When the Sefer Torah is brought out, it's out, being brought out, however it is. You recite all the things that you recite from Vayim and so on through our Achnos. When you finish with the Sefer Torah, you say a hallelujah. All the ceremony that goes on around it is not relevant. That's relevant when we're marching around with the Sefer Torah, so we're portioned out different parts for different parts. But when they're not marching around with the Sefer Torah, you just recite all the parts minus the ceremonies. Is it ever mutter to learn during Kaddish? Is there a difference between Namir and Ma'om on Echad? One should not learn during Kaddish. However, Kaddish ends. This is important. We call Chatzi Kaddish until Damir Ba'om Alimru Amen, or we say Kaddish Shalom when we say it's Kabul. The Rosh Hashulchan writes that this is a mistake. Kaddish Shalom ends with Damir Ba'om Alimru Amen. That's the end of Kaddish. It's Kabul and all of that is extra tefillahs after the Kaddish is over. The Kaddish ends with Damir Ba'om Alimru Amen. So if a person wanted to learn after that point, maybe you should also have to dafka listen to this kabbal, is that tefillah for kabbalah so tefillah is. But after that, he can learn if he wants to learn. Okay. Very interesting question. If one makes havdalah over the phone for a widow, what dala havdalah involved? Well, obviously, she should have a candle in the summer. She can't be yaitzeh vicariously with my candle and my psalm. And she should make a bracha on the candle and the psalm. However, according to Ramosha Feinstein, she can't actually be yotzei in the Havdalah itself over the phone. but she can make the brachos herself, and there's no reason she shouldn't make the brachos herself. It's certainly more lechatchila that she should make the brachos rather than hear them on the phone. So the Bari Mariation, if someone, I would advise her to make on her phone. I think we're about finished with all the submitted questions. Let me see if there are any more. Okay, I think we should open the floor to questions at this point. So, as I said, basically I've finished the questions, the submitted questions. Danny, always good to see you, Danny.
Shalom aleichem, Rabbi. I sent it in an email just a few minutes ago, so I don't think you got it there. There's Lieber's rice cake, and on the back of the package, it has a rabbi from Nitra, from Muncie, from Rabbi Weissmandel, has a kosher parva. Then it says allergen information, contains soy. It says may contain milk. This does not affect the parva status. What does that mean?
What it means is the following. People that have milk allergies can be sensitive to a million, one part per million or many million, and it can in fact be deadly for them. But in terms of parva, we have vitil v'shisha, as long as it's less than 1/60th, in other words, there are 60 times the parva to any drop of milk that there might be there. So the product itself is parva. So basically what he's telling you, it was made on some machine, which was cleaned, but we can't tell you that we did such a job that there's not the tiniest infinitesimal drop was left. Now, a person with a milk allergy, in fact, it could be very deadly. It was a tragic incident many years back where someone ate a parva cookie, and they didn't realize that there was a milk allergy concern with it. And lo aleinu, someone affected, it had very, very negative consequences.
Also, I had sent the rabbi an email about making sure to announce about voting in the primary elections. To make sure.
I'll announce it right now. Rabbi Isai, you know, we are citizens of Queens, and we want Queens to run in proper fashion. If we want Queens to run in proper fashion, we have to be involved in the political process. We can't just sit back and say it's not our business. And we had a signal success, and that should spur us on with the voting for the Queens District Attorney. The outpouring of votes in our community carried a candidate that's most favorable for the interest of our community, Linda Katz, to victory. And she's acknowledged it to all types of people. We had an outpouring, we had an unusual rise in the number of people that actually participated in the voting. And that's what pushed her over the top in an election that she won by a mere 55 votes. So it was important that we come out until June 23rd. And to vote is still going to be a primary for, particularly for borough president. And we need to have our voices heard to protect. And of course, Grace Meng, who's a very, very great friend of the Jewish community for Congress, and to make sure that she prevails. So we have very significant interests at stake. And if we sit home with our hands folded, then we're sacrificing our own interests. Please do not do that.
I want to point out also that early voting is already in progress at the Queens College Student Union building, if you want to do that, and then the 23rd, unless you already got your ballot because you phoned in for a write-in vote.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Jennifer.
Good evening, Rev.
Mazel tov to you, first of all.
Oh, thank you very, very much.
I did share a mazel tov last night already on the Zoom.
There's never too many. And I would just tell anybody, you know, who is going to be making a simcha, the backyard wedding can be a very beautiful, meaningful experience. That's not why I raised my hand. I raised my hand to ask the Rav, in view of the fact that the phase two for New York City just came out, which said a minimum of 10 people in a religious, in a, you know, a synagogue, church, or whatever. Where does that leave AY, and is when does the girl think, you know, just based on whatever, the women may be able to return to the
Ezra? I am pushing very, very hard to expand at all feasible limits the amount of men at the various venues that we have. And I spoke at length with Mark Franco about this. And when we achieve a certain level that we will be able to accommodate at, I would say, 3 minyanim approximately, all the men that need to come to shul, we're going planning at that time to open the ladies section. I hope that's not going to be in the distant future. And I said, we're pushing in that direction in all feasible manner. And Mark and I have discussed it at length. And as soon as the numbers rise, and I don't see any reason they shouldn't rise, well, Hashem, the basic nesses is well ventilated, it's not crowded, we have numerous minyanim. And I would hope that more and more people will join the minyanim of the basic nesses. And if that takes place in the numbers that the great minyanim rise, it will really reach a point that we no longer need to use these interesting floor in the regular minyanim in the shul. That's what I'm hoping for. So we're pushing in that direction. I don't know what I'm going to get there. I don't know. It really depends as people, you know, become comfortable, more comfortable coming to the basic nesses with a little larger minyanim that we've been having in town. But that the direction that we're headed in, and it's certainly a very sensitive issue, and one that's very, very high, as Mark Franklin and others know on my issue.
Thank you. Rachel, got your question?
Hi, Walter.
David Grabov.
Yeah, well, it's
Rachel has a question.
Going back to the Havdalah, does she have a kos also with grape juice?
No, she doesn't need a kos.
So she just had the nair and the samim?
No, you know, I presume she really doesn't want to make up the law, so.
Correct.
In consequence, she doesn't need to have a kos. Let the person making up the law have a kos.
Say the words that the whole Havdalah along, you know, on her own house quietly.
She does not have a need for this.
But she should make the bracha, Rabbi Bnei Samim and Mari Ha'esh.
At the same time, the person that's making Havdalah makes this.
What was that?
At the same time, the person that's making the Havdalah makes
this. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a commute.
Yeah, for England.
Hello, Rabbi.
How you doing?
Baruch Hashem. So I sent in an email earlier today, but I guess you didn't get it, regarding a griddle. If I am thinking about buying one, a lot of them come pre-seasoned. Is that any issue?
Something has to be done with them. I'm not 100% sure what the best approach is. You know, I need to look, and I don't really have all the information on my fingertips at the moment. But the pre-season ones do present the issue of kashrus. If you have a self-cleaning oven, put it in there for an hour and it'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
It may discolor a little bit, but it'll be fine.
Okay, well, that's an easy
out. Okay. Just make sure, obviously, you don't have a plastic handle.
Right. Thank you.
I don't think you want to put Teflon in there either.
No. Right.
Okay, that's Loha.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Dobbin Englander.
How are you, Rabbi?
Welcome. It's wonderful to see you.
I want to make a correction. Monday, supposedly, according to Governor Cuomo, we're going to phase two, and you'll be able to have 25% of the building for a minyan. So it'll be more than 10 people.
Yeah, so in our shul, 25% of the capacity of the sanctuary is a number that's somewhere between 25 and 35, approximately. That's what it is. That's
right, so you will be able to have more people.
Yes, we are. Look, going forward, we hope so. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you togo Kalim in the lake? According to what the information that I have, we can togo in the lake in the lakes in Flushing Meadow Park. No, you should not skip the Daven Vasik and have to catch up. If a person wants the Daven Vasik, and they should not skip. There's a whole question altogether what the license to Daven for Vasik in the absence of a minyan is. So certainly to give license on top of that, to skip to make it, I think is inappropriate. We say about till about 20 minutes or so after school. Maybe 25. You have the AC is set to go on Shabbos morning, and you wake up in the morning and it's chilly out. And you turn off the AC before it goes on. That if you do it b'shino, if you're assuming it's not electronic, it's mechanical, the on-off. Assuming it's mechanical, you can close it. Assuming it's electrical, you can't. And in terms of taking pins out of clocks, I am totally not comfortable with the idea of taking pins out of clocks. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. What else? Rami Schlanger.
Thank you, Rob. I thought the Rav just mentioned about the Vasikin minyan without a davening without a minyan. So if there's a choice of davening Vasikin without a minyan or after but later with the minyan, you should rather daven later with a minyan.
The Hector, the Chavetz Chaim created a Hector. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a whole Torah to explain it. You don't know what the source of the Chavetz Chaim was. Chavetz Chaim said that if a person always davens to Vasikin, he is not obligated to daven with a minyan. But that's if he always davens to Vasikin. A sporadic Vasikin is not Deuchat to the Vasikin. Chazanish, I should point out, when he lived in Vilna, did not have a minyan. He used to daven to Vasikin every day himself. And he came to shul during the week, two times a week during the weekdays. He came on Monday and Thursday, they hit a Kriyas HaTorah and he left. In Eretz Yisrael, he was already Zoich already. He became a little bit more known. When he became a public figure, so there he was Zoich already. He had a Vasikin minyan in his house. Issa.
Hello.
Hello, Issa.
You hear me?
I hear you.
I'm not on. I'm just on the phone, not on the internet. I want your opinion. I've seen this. I've seen different brachas in three different brachas books. Tomato juice and tomato soup.
And tomato juice and tomato soup. I make a dumb one. Tomatoes juice is cooked tomatoes. That's what it is. It's not squeezed out. It's not like orange juice that you squeeze out or an apple. You cook it, and that's how you make it. That's my understanding. And consequently, if you cook it again to make tomato soup, it's still adama.
So both are adama?
Lidaiti, yes. I should point out something else which is important. There's a Prima Godin that says if something had lost its form, okay, let's say I took apples and I made applesauce. I made applesauce without pieces. So it no longer really has the form of an apple. So the chatchila should make shahakal. The Megodim does write someplace. If I made a bird kriya eats on it, the initial bracha, even though now it no longer has the form, still eats it in the apple.
Okay.
Rabbi Isai, do you have any further questions for today?
I came a few minutes late. I don't know if the Rav, I had written in a few questions. I don't know if the Rav addressed them or not. One was, had to do with Borer on Shabbos. If the Soles is subjective or objective. In other words, if I don't like chicken skin or I don't eat chicken skin, but people do eat chicken skin. So when I want to take the skin off, do I have to do the meat away from the skin or can I do the skin off?
The person can consider a derech achila to take the skin off, to reach the, you know, the chicken. You don't have to attack the chicken from the other side. Uh-huh. But that's, you know, the type of things which everyone could objectively agree. I don't know if in a very individual sense that applies. I don't have such a sense of halacha. It's based on a more objective
thing. And then I had a question. If now that we have more than 10 people in the Minyanim and Shul, should we wait for 10 people to finish for Chazaras HaShatz or we'll still do with 6?
No, I don't want to wait because the Minyanim are very small. Uh-huh. The small Minyanim will start waiting for 9 people. You don't know how long we'll have to wait.
Right.
And that itself will disrupt the whole Minyanim.
Okay.
So, when Be'ez Hashem it's a larger Minyanim, back to waiting for 9 people besides the chazan.
The focus is still on doing the davening as quickly as we can, though, I presume.
It's also one of the things. We want to move along. And it's also, as I said, there's another thing. People are going to work, but they have to be able to go from the minyan to where they have to go. So they can't just be waiting around. Mm-hmm. It's very nice to clear my rishon. We call a kavod to them, and I don't want to steal them. It's a big supposed to be a ma'arav tefillah. But in the mainland, the tzibur has to go on. They'll be minor tefillah, and the tzibur will go forward, and they'll have their lengthy tefillah, and it'll be shalom ha'yisrael, and everyone will accomplish what they need to accomplish.
And another question I had was, I'm particular to try to pay something for something before I use it. I don't want to use it without paying for it. Hello? So someone does me a favor and gets me something, and I'm going to reimburse them with a check by mail. Is it enough if I put the mail in the envelope in the mailbox, or I have to wait till he actually gets it?
No, don't wait until he gets it. You don't have to be that much a yekka. You can be a yekka, but not a super yekka.
I'm sorry. I'm
this is your family yekka. Comes from Lodz, you know. Come on.
I'm not enough.
You're not Legence. From Berlin and Hamburg and
Frankfurt. And then I think the Rav may have had, the fourth question I had was what to do about the tovling. So we should wait until we get word from you before we
tovle. Yes, I'm going to wait another few weeks because I don't want to create a rush on the people that have to use the kelim present.
And do we make a bracha when we do the
tovling? Yes, we will make a bracha. Okay.
That was it. Thank you.
Gary Esterson.
You got to unmute. Gary, you got to unmute.
Gary,
you're still muted. I can't hear you.
Unmute. Hold on.
Now you're good.
You're muted again.
Am I good now?
He's good.
Okay, let's start again. Okay. The Rav mentioned voting in the coming election. Recently, the Jewish community the West Coast, and especially in New York, have lost a lot politically. We've had with the camps, we've had with opening up the public areas for playgrounds, and many, many other situations where we were discriminated against in New York State, New York City. What would the Rav do differently to raise the voice of the Jewish community where we're being ignored now? What would the Rav suggest the Jewish community and the leadership should, what steps should be done to raise our political capital?
I believe involvement in the political process is what it's about. And unfortunately, we have a very low profile, and we are known to have a very low profile of participating in elections. And that's not helping us. It's hurting us deeply. And I've spoken to people. Politics is a business like every other business. If you sell washing machines, so you know who are the people that are interested in washing machines, and you know, and then you figure out how to advertise to those people. And it's in every business in the world knows who its customers are, its customer base, and then it figures out how to reach that customer. The world of politics is no different. I have spoken to people that are actually office holders on this regard. And they know exactly who votes and who doesn't vote. There's no secrets. They know, they go election district by election district by election district, what the turnout was. And they know who lives in that election district. And if you're on an election district that turns out a lot, even if you voted on the wrong side of the issue, but you're heavily involved in voting, then they want to hear from you because you are in the game of deciding who's going to sit in office. If you sit home and you don't vote, then forget about you. You're not a customer. We're not interested in you. And that's, we've taken our position, our rights for granted too long. And unfortunately, about the only ones in the city of New York that understand this are the Satmar Chassidim. They understand the game very, very well. And they're big players in the game. There's a heavy, heavy turnout. It's not even true in Chabad. Chabad is nowhere near the type of, you look at the election districts in Crown Heights, their turnout does not begin to compare, even percentage-wise, with what takes place in Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, everybody votes. There's no such thing as not voting. They're the ultimate American citizens, and they understand the game. They're a heavy presence. They're able to exert influence on things that are important for them. If more and more Jews would vote, the Frum community as a whole would have more influence for everybody. And I've talked about it many, many times in the Pope. I say it again, we need to get out and vote and be involved in the game. If not, we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
So could I just follow up on that one point? What do you think that... because the Jews are quiet like they were years ago and they don't demonstrate now like they should, when you have Black Lives demonstrating so the media listens to them, and when the Jews are quiet so then the politicians don't care about the Jews?
That's certainly part of it. And we have a certain reticence due to our history and our feelings that, you know, we are guests in a foreign country. And consequently, there's a certain reticence by which we conduct ourselves, which is usually admirable. But there are times it's not so admirable. And we need to understand that. And we need that sometimes if people act a little bit more vociferously, not to accuse them of Chilul Hashem. You know, every time a Jew picks up his head and stands up for his rights, it's not a Chilul Hashem, even if the world doesn't like it. No, and that's, as I'm not condoning or suggesting or on the other hand, criticizing any particular actions. But when people feel they've been discriminated against and they decide to stand up for themselves, we should not be so dismissive. It's a chilul Hashem. You know, I mean, be'at chinach and all types of other adjectives. We may do it or we may not do it. We may join them or not join them. But if people feel they've reached the point that they have to stand up for their rights, then we should respect the fact that there are Jews that are willing to stand up for their rights, from Jews that are willing to stand up for their rights. Even if I may somewhat disagree, and I don't think that I would do it myself, I don't necessarily think at this moment it's the best move to make, but respect the fact that reasonable people could come to different conclusions than we do, and respect them. Respect the fact that they're willing to stand up for their rights.
Thank you.
Rabbi Issa.
Yeah, you hear me?
Yes. So I understand you don't have a minion yet to join during the weekday. So child.
Right. Is it shayach to make a bracha?
If you want to make Rabbi Issa, this is you guys, the bench going over with Baruch Hashem. Davidson was very kind to him. He was hospitalized with COVID. And Baruch Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom, was given a refuah shleima just this week. He was declared totally free. He'd been tested many times. Baruch Hashem, he's, you know, he was hospitalized and he didn't need oxygen. Baruch Hashem, but Davidson's chesed is back to himself. So he needs to bench Goimo. And he's going to bench Goimo right now. We're going to answer Amen. So go ahead.
I do it standing up, right?
Yes.
Okay, Bishus. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, ha'gomer l'chayavim tovos, shegmolani kol tov.
Amen. Be well and stay well, Rabbi Yisrael.
Grace Yashikayach.
Okay. Yaakov Meltzer.
Hi, good evening. I had a question.
You and me to share by you, Bukhara.
Amen, amen.
And thank you. So please, you know, get moving.
You were muted. Did that not mean count?
I had a question about being a... you have a minion. Let's say we had a situation this morning where we were short somebody for a minion, and we're in the middle of Psuke de Zimra. My question is, if there's a heter for a gabbai to talk in terms of going out and
Psuke de Zimra is certainly a heter. There's no question. We can pilpul in Psuke de Zimra. It's 100% moot. The gabbai to go and do whatever he has to.
Meaning, what's the
whatever he has to do?
Okay.
Yeah. We should have started. Don't start Baruch. Leave his envelope and that's it. Menachem, how are you?
If when Isser was saying his bracha and you were muted and said amen, does it matter if he are muted or not muted?
Okay. Doesn't matter. You're saying amen to his bracha. Principally, besides everything else, Moshe Feinstein wrote that one could actually say the Birchas HaGoyim with no one around.
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom. The fact that we do it b'minyan is b'tok Rabba Mahalalenu, is to give Hidor B'Rabba. So here the Hidor is B'Rabba. The whole, 25 people heard the Hidor. So Hidor is B'Rabba. It's not a question of being the Brocha per se. But we know we made a Brocha, so we can answer only.
Rabbi, has another question.
Yeah.
When you talk about taking a miser from...
Rachel, I'm not hearing you.
When you discuss, when we learned that we should take miser for tzedakah, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're talking about gross income, adjusted gross income, or net income?
We're talking about net income.
Net income.
Net, yes.
Okay.
I mean, after basically, in other words, after Social Security tax is taken off, and after the withholding tax is taken off, and the federal tax and the state tax, that's what we're talking about.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay.
Question: someone borrowed a power tool and they borrowed an extension cord to trim a hedge, and the cord got slightly caught in the saw and tore a bit. The extension cord and cord still works. Should I be replacing the extension cord with a new one, or is it assumed that some small damage may come from additional use? I think the normal expectation is that this is wear and tear. I think this is a normal wear and tear what happens. You should speak to the person about it just to make sure you're on the same page with them and nobody's upset. But in and of itself, listen, everything still works. So it needs, what does it need? It needs a little bit of electrical tape on the outside to last for the next 20 years. This is what happens sometimes. I think it's part of use. I don't think it's necessarily a shia. And as I said, speak to the person. I don't see any real damage that happened. There's a little bit of the orange, insulation got pulled off. Speak to him to make sure that there's no hard feelings about it. And as I said, a little bit of electrical tape on that spot and a list of other points. Okay, anyone else from Lisa?
Yeah. In the push raise hand, no one.
There's a whole bunch of people raised hand, but I think they all from before.
Jennifer.
Actually, it's Aaron.
Mazel tov, Aaron.
Thank you, Rav. And thank you for coming yesterday.
Pleasure was mine.
I want to ask, we had a problem yesterday with some wines that were opened by a non-Jew. Some of them were said non-Mavushal. I have one wine that was made in Eretz Yisrael, and it doesn't say whether it was Mavushal or not, and I don't know whether I should spill it out or not.
It was opened and Jews were
yes.
around?
Yes, it was uncorked by a non-Jew.
Uncorked by a non-Jew. And there were Jews all around. And non-Jews that were working, they worked for this caterer all the time.
Yaakov.
I would imagine they work for the caterer all the time. So they know they're not allowed to fit around with the guys. So consequently, I don't think there's any Easter on it. Merely moving the bottle in a place where there are other Jews around to see that they didn't actually pour the wine from it or put the finger into the wine is mutter, and it's a psak that Moshe Feinstein did many times. And consequently, I think that you could use them all under the circumstances. Issa?
Did you hear what he said?
Hello?
Yes.
I wasn't raising my hand, but just as a follow-up to what you just said, so it only becomes a problem if the guy pours the wine?
If he pours the wine or touches the wine, it's a problem. Sometimes if he puts a stick into the wine and he touches it, but if the wine is already in a bottle or a cup and he moves it, as long as there's no chash that he actually put his hand into it to do some religious service with it. And that would be because there were yidden all around, as there were yesterday. There's no chash at all.
Because he has to do some maisa in the wine? You mean like pouring it?
He has to pour the wine, yes. So this is psaktik of Neumann's that's all this promotion about this. You know, obviously, you want to be careful and not leave the wine around under such circumstances. You know, they shouldn't be left around.
So one minute, if he carries an open bottle of wine, but he uncorks it, and he carries it, but he's not pouring it, he brings it to a table.
It's no Issa.
Wow.
If I were a caterer, I would probably pour it out, because otherwise people would think I'm giving a trait, and that wouldn't be good for my reputation. So if I was a caterer, I would probably pour it out. You want to know how long the Shulchan Aruch is moving. As I said, Malno Psakta Moshe. And I recently just worked through in the Shulchan Aruch all the factors of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're thinking of having the cleaning lady perhaps come back soon. The problem is that So, but I'm working at home now. Miriam has to go to yeshiva to work. So I'll be alone in the house. And I'm working in the basement. If I leave the door to the basement open, is that good enough?
He goes to the alley you're talking.
Yeah.
Schwach, you know, it's not a place that people generally come marching in.
So I should be upstairs.
What I would do in your circumstances to follow, what I would do is I would work in front of a sofa with duo or something like that, broadcasting to your wife.
I'm sorry?
Broadcast your presence to your wife or one of your children. That people all will just see you anytime they look up.
Constantly. All right. We have a nanny cam, like a nanny cam.
Yes. Same idea. Okay.
All right. Or if I work upstairs and the front door is open, that'd be okay?
That would help, yes.
All right.
Better open.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, anyone else on my side? One second, there's another question that came over the wire. Mm-hmm. we don't know leeways before and after sunrise. We don't even know what the Vasikin is exactly. Yora says that there was an Amora that whatever was extremely elated. I think that was many, many times. And he finally one day he thought he actually hit the Vasikin. We don't know exactly when the Vasikin is. We know exactly for the second when the sunrise is here and when it's visible. There are many different factors. We approximate, we try to daven when we know the sun is supposed to rise. And that's it. I prefer that people are not medactic to the second, because if you're medactic to the second, that second may not be exactly, you may be 100 feet away and you're in a different second. So just do what everyone does. And when it gets whatever, what we think is the minute of the Vasikin daven, and hopefully enough times we'll actually hit the Vasikin. Rabbeisai, it's been a pleasure. See you tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with a Vartara and the Parsha, and also the Mesilas Yishorim, the next chair. Everyone should stay well, and we should all the Chaylim should have a foolish labor of Hera. The Mesilas should bring the Gepa to an end. We should get back ready to living our lives in a normal sense, interacting in a normal sense with each other, Be'ez Hashem. And may the Rabbanu Shalom be so kind.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.